Hello, I'm Dawn Durham, and welcome to Patent Pod. I want to assure all of you who are listening, Patent Pod and the entire patent system remains dedicated to providing professional development to educators and support for families and students during these unprecedented times. Today, we're excited to have a team of individuals with us to help us understand what supports are available during the COVID-19 pandemic. Joining us is Shannon Austin, the Executive Director of the Office of Vocational Rehabilitation, Laura Cipriani, Policy Supervisor for the Office of Developmental Programs. Kevin Hancock is joining us. He's the Deputy Secretary for the Office of Long-Term Living. Ali Rossock from the Pennsylvania Youth Leadership Network, and co-state leads of our Secondary Transition Initiative, Hillary Mangus and Jackie Lister. Thank you all so much for being here with us today. We appreciate your time. Jackie and Hillary, I want to start with you. Can you just share what's the vision of the Community on Transition Initiative at Patent?
Great question, Dawn. The shared vision and common goals of the PA Community on Transition is achieved when all youth and young adults with disabilities successfully transition to the role of productive and participating adult citizens. They're empowered to recognize their talents, strengths, and voice, and have equitable access to resources to promote participation in the communities of their choice.
I heard two big words there, voice and equity, that I think is a key piece, particularly right now. And if the two of you can help me, what is this initiative doing to help during the COVID-19 pandemic? What resources do they have available for us across the Commonwealth?
Dawn, the Secondary Transition Initiative, along with the entire patent system, has been providing resources for educators, parents, families, and students that we believe to be helpful during this time of virtual living and learning. It's our hope that we can continue to be of support in whatever way those we serve may need. One of the things that Hillary and I would like to highlight is the University of Kansas Beach Center on Disability, Distance Learning for Special Education. This resource provides support for families, youth, and educators across ages, and it provides services in a virtual platform. Additionally, the linked webinars provided by the National Technical Assistance Center on Transition, or NTACT, are rich with fresh ideas for secondary transition stakeholders. We're also available to answer any questions you may have using our email, secondarytransitioncovid19@patentpgh.net. The patent resources are updated regularly, so we would invite folks to come back regularly to see those resources.
So Jackie, what I hear you saying is we've got resources available not only through the patent site, but multiple sites that we can connect to help us in the situation that we're in regards to our at-home continuity of education plans. And if I'm not mistaken, you actually have a direct email link to your team that's there to offer support, guidance, answer some questions. And I just want to make sure I have it correct. SecondaryTransitionCovid19@patent.net. Is that the correct email?
It would be patentpgh.net.
Thanks for clarifying that. I think that's a great resource, and I encourage those who are listening to share that resource with other folks. So thank you so much for that. Shannon, I want to jump to you, if I may. You're joining us from the Office of Vocational Rehabilitation. Can you just briefly share what that office is and what it typically does, and then talk to me about what can it help us with now during our pandemic?
Yes, the Pennsylvania Office of Vocational Rehabilitation, or OVR, provides vocational rehab services to help individuals with disabilities to prepare and maintain employment. OVR provides services for adults, but also students with disability, both directly through our network through using providers. We are a statewide agency, which have 21 district offices, where we have trained vocational rehabilitation professionals serving all of the 67 counties. Of these offices, we have co-located Bureau of Blindness and Visual Services that also specializes in blindness and visual impairment individuals. We also have HGAC in Johnstown that provides vocational training and comprehensive services across the state. OVR provides services to students, of course, to maintain employment. But for students in particular, they gain skills in self-awareness and practical work skills. training options, and of course, employment. We provide these services directly, and we also arrange for services through various agencies. Currently, our offices are currently closed and not doing in-person services when COVID-19 is currently going on, but we are continuing to work remotely to assist students. Most students or families can outreach to us through phone and email and video conferencing or Skype, and then they can connect with their local district office or their secondary transition coordinator or through our local website. We're also taking referrals at this time. We are really committed to serving students with disabilities, and we want to make sure that their health and safety of customers and provider staff and the community remains our top priority during this time. OVR is fully committed to federal and state and local guidelines and social distancing. And with that, you know, we are really, during this time, allowing for virtual or, services that are done with students. We continue to do pre-employment transition services virtually. We are suspending or putting a hold to those services that are done in the community with work-based learning experiences in particular. But these are some of the things that we're currently doing with students. Everything from virtual resume assistance, job placement assistance, and then job coaching services for those students that want to go into essential businesses to do employment.
So it looks like we can continue that work even during the situation we're in, and ensuring that we have those independent living skills, that we have the ability to self-advocate, that we have those work skills necessary. So I'm glad that that work continues, because I think it's vital that when we're in a situation where we can go back to some sort of normalcy, we hit the ground running. So thank you so much for that, Shannon. Kevin, can I jump over to you? The Office of Long-Term Living, just briefly share what that agency or what your office does typically, and then how you're addressing the pandemic we're currently involved in.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. The Office of Long-Term Living is part of the Department of Human Services, and it oversees the Medicaid-funded long-term services and supports that are offered in Pennsylvania. The program covers services under managed care in the Community Health Choices Program and in the LIFE Program. And we also have two fee-for-service programs called OBRA and Act 150. In Community Health Choices, which is the largest of the programs we offer, the managed care program, we have three managed care organizations that oversee nursing facility services, as well as 32 different home and community-based waiver services. Of those 32 home and community-based waiver services, five are dedicated to employment for individuals with disabilities. And we continue to focus on employment as a primary goal of this program and all of our programs, because we want to encourage people to be able to work if they want to be able to work.
I think that's a very vital piece, and I'm glad that you have your team, and along with this team that we're gathered here today on the Patent Pod episode, that work continues for our students, particularly our students who have disabilities.
Sure.
Can you just address briefly then, what are we doing, or what can we be doing differently during this COVID-19 pandemic?
So the Office of Long-Term Living, to be perfectly honest, is in the center of the whirlwind of COVID-19, because most of the population that we support are very vulnerable to the infection. So we are laser focused on anything we could do to support the Department of Health and the CDC's efforts for prevention, but also to manage the reality that many of our facilities and many of the people we serve are actually infected and in need of care related to the infection. One of the most difficult statistics to relate is that people receiving services in long-term care facilities, including nursing facilities and personal care homes, represent 60% of those who have passed away in Pennsylvania from COVID-19. So we continue to focus on this while at the same time trying to maintain access to services such as employment services. And many of those types of services are being offered telephonically, because we want to make sure that we're maintaining social distancing requirements that are being advocated by the Department of Health, but at the same time, we want people to have continuity of services. So we've switch to telephone-based servicing for a lot of our services, including employment-related services. And so far, it's been pretty successful. So in some cases, it's not practical because of communication limitations, but for the most part, telephonic service support has worked, and it's something that we're going to continue to explore even when we're outside of the crisis period.
I think that's a good point, and you had spoke to it that we do have a vulnerable population, which many of you are servicing through that team you have. And because of that, you are right in the heart of the situation we're in. But to think beyond this current situation, to think beyond the level of pandemic that we're at and how we can employ these strategies moving forward. And as you had said, the telephone service seems to be working well. And so we hope to be able to reach more people that way, which I think is promising. So thank you so much for your efforts and for your team's efforts. I know we all appreciate that. Laura, if I could ask, from the Office of Developmental Programs, is anything changing on your end in response to COVID-19?
Thank you, Dawn. Yes, we are making some changes in response to COVID-19. We're Office of Developmental Programs. It's commonly referred to as ODP. We serve individuals who have an intellectual disability or autism to support them to achieve greater independence, choice, and opportunity in their lives. So under typical circumstances, some of our services include employment services, day programs, residential living options, technology support, and many others. In response to the COVID-19 pandemic, we've made some quick changes in order to, first and foremost, meet the health and safety needs of the individuals that we support. We are allowing services to be delivered remotely. We are allowing services to be delivered in settings that they typically can't be delivered in, such as a person's private home. And we're expanding the types of services that we allow family members to provide, as we're seeing more and more staff not being able to come into work because they themselves are ill. It's important to be able to offer these types of alternatives. The other thing we're doing as well is we're having our supports coordinators check in with every individual on their caseload at least weekly. And that's, and at times more frequently than that, really depending on the situation. And that's just to ensure that they're healthy, safe, and getting the assistance that they need.
I think the team's quick response to changing up how we're addressing, what we're providing, and the manner in which providing those services needed to happen. So I'm glad that your team is doing that and continues to do that through the situation. And as you had said, you know, the priority is the health and safety of everyone. So I know that your efforts have not gone unnoticed. So thank you so much for that. Allie, the Pennsylvania Youth Leadership Network, I think of it as the voice of young adults. How would you explain PYLN for those who may not be aware of it who are listening?
Sure. Thank you, Dawn. So PYLN, we love our acronyms in this business, but that stands for Pennsylvania Youth Leadership Network. It's an inclusive network that's really driven by organizations of youth and young adults, both with and without disabilities across Pennsylvania. And they really focus on promoting things like advocacy, self-determination, leadership, empowerment, and service learning in kind of all of the areas that you would think of in education. So education itself, employment, community engagement, from that youth perspective that you mentioned.
So in thinking about the COVID-19 pandemic, I think of youth right away and how challenging this must be to understand, to communicate about, to have feelings about. What's the network doing to help support or manage or just get word out about what services are available?
Sure. So one of my favorite things about PYLN is that it's comprised of individuals from a lot of different unique perspectives. And for that core governing board at PYLN, many of us are involved in education fields or as service providers in the various different agencies that we were hearing from today. And I myself work at a community college and in conjunction with a Center for Independent Living. And we all kind of go back to our roots and think about peer support and information and referral. So first and foremost, we've been gathering together to keep each other posted on any engagements that we had that would be postponed or canceled due to the current situation. And then we took a step back and started to look at our partners across the state and provide some consultation to them to review and provide strategies for youth engagement. And really our advice has been what it always has been, which is to stick to what we know, which is that youth know what they want and know what they need. I think all of us are very stressed and feeling anxious or confused about what's going on, but ultimately the youth know best for themselves. And I think that instead of isolating ourselves to kind of come up with all of the answers, we can sort of brainstorm ideas and bring the youth in on all of these plans so that we can make sure that we can still accomplish our goals.
So back to what Hillary had said in the beginning, which is, you know, so much of the essence of the Secondary Transition Initiative is student voice. It does matter. They do understand how they're feeling and what they're thinking. And by us not asking about those things, we're not giving them that voice and that credit that they deserve. So I'm glad that you had mentioned that. So thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you to all of you who joined Patent Pod today. You know, I know it can be challenging in these times to find any little bit of time away to be able to have these conversations, but you sharing the different agencies, the different initiatives that we have going on across the Commonwealth is so vital right now at any point in time, but particularly right now. And I encourage those who are listening to think about these services, think about these resources that are available, reach out to these folks. That's what they're here for now, but anytime. When we're past this situation, these resources will still be vital to you to reach out to. So thank you all again so much for being on Patent Pod. I so appreciate all of your time. Thank you to all the teachers out there. You are inspiring your students and so many more of us during these unprecedented, challenging times. A special thank you to John Ragsdale for producing this podcast. We'll see you next time on Patent Pod. Stay safe. Be well.